Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State, brought to you once again by On Fire Ministries and in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong, about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ, about not ending in prayer, but also moving to action about the gospel of the kingdom. And that gospel of the kingdom needing to be preached everywhere. Now, last week, we were at the Red Pill Festival in St. Regis, Montana. A lot happening just even since then. And just one of the more hilarious parts about that was the journalist from the London Times who showed up in Montana in a full safari outfit as if he was going to the wilds of Africa in Montana. And, you know, he was trying to pester kind of everybody, you know, Matt, a word, Matt. And, you know, we've just politely, no, thank you. No, thank you. We don't talk to propaganda. We really need to stop talking to these propagandists when they come up to us. And people say, well, I've got a platform. I got a platform with them. No, you're giving them a platform to continue making money. These mainstream media types quite literally are trying to spin everything to persecute Christians, to persecute not just believers, but just anybody that doesn't believe in the going fairy tale of the Marxists. And so don't fall for that stuff. And I'm going to give you a couple things that I believe are happening and about to happen that may kind of change your mind on things. And I think ground you in where we really are in this country. Now, before I get to that, I want to do two things. First, I want to read Isaiah 61, 1 through 4. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord anointed me to bring good news to the humble. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to the captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to comfort those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the cloak of praise instead of a disheartened spirit. I'm going to stop there for a second. These things are what is supposed to be happening in a time of crisis. We're supposed to be giving hope, praising the Lord, which lifts off that spirit of heaviness, proclaiming release to the captives, freedom to the prisoners, bring good news to the humble. All of this happening during a crisis. And then it says, so they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins, they will raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined cities of desolations of many generations. So this is actually a promise that if we do these things, this is what's going to happen. And oaks can withstand storms. They're huge trees, they're strong trees. They can withstand the storm and rebuild, repair the desolations of many generations. And here in this country, we've had desolations for now several generations where people did not believe that what the New American and other publications were saying, that the globalists, the technocrats were going to try to do, was going to happen. They didn't believe it. And now we're here and we got to do something. Which brings me to the next point. Right now in America, there are a lot of people that have just given up. That's, first of all, that's un-American, giving up and not having hope. Our hope is not in man, it's in Jesus Christ. And Jesus is bigger than everything we are facing right now. Jesus Christ is bigger than every problem, even the personal problem, bigger than every problem in our personal lives, every problem in our families, every problem in our communities. Every problem in this country, Jesus Christ is bigger than everything we are facing right now. We need to remember that. Stand on that. This isn't something to play around with and wallow in this pity and hopelessness. Right now, our job is to call out falsehood, stand on the truth, bring hope. We're the ones that are called to do that as Christians, not somebody else. We are. And there are leaders out there right now that are reluctant to be leaders in this time. They don't think they're the men for the job or the woman for the... You are exactly who God has called you for in this time. You weren't meant to be born in 1776. You were meant to be born now, in this time, for this era. So embrace that. Embrace it. And that brings us now to your daily intelligence briefing. From the international front, and I've got a lot, there is a lot going on here. So everybody needs to pay attention. If you want to take notes, take some notes. There's some things that I'm going to be talking about today that other people, I think, have missed. And I want to start with what I believe is kind of a trajectory of the country right now. I want to start with some things that you may, you might not have heard, but they're very important. All right. The first thing I want to talk about is the media is preparing for two main things right now. Number one, if more deaths continue due to this so-called vaccine, this gene therapy, they're going to actually start to blame President Trump in Operation Warp Speed for it. Okay, so they're going to try to flip this now. If this vaccine death count continues to rise, it's already horrible right now. And in most cases, if you get over 50, they'll pull a drug from the shelf. They're not even doing that right now. But they want to try to blame President Trump. Okay, number two. Starting in September, they being the mainstream media, the Marxists, the jihadis here in this country, they are going to begin crucifying publicly anything associated with January 6th and President Trump in general. They are going to begin doing that. In fact, they're going to try to liken what's happening with these so-called, well, they're not, these are show trials. They're going to try to liken this stuff to like Oklahoma City and the bombing there. They're going to liken it to any other type of extremist activity. Now, that's their term. The term that they use for extremism today is just weaponized, and it's garbage. It's just propaganda. But they're going to try to use it to crucify anybody associated with January 6th and President Trump. They're going to try to liken it to the Oklahoma City bombing. They're going to try to liken it to any other horrible incident in America's past. Okay, so the demonization is beginning. Now, This is a cover for a lot of other things that are happening. I want to go through a lot of that today because there's some other things that are going to happen pretty quickly. And one of those is war in the Middle East. It seems like this is coming like right now. So let's go there first from Debka File. Five ships. You heard this correctly. Five ships seized by suspected Iranian forces or their proxies in the Arabian Sea. At least three maritime security sources report that five civilian vessels, four of them tankers, were on Tuesday night, August 3rd, under attack, possibly hijacked by Iranian or proxy forces. They were sailing near the United Arab Emirates when this stuff happened. Now, here, I want you to pay attention to the part of this report right now. Four of the ships were warned when they made their reports, warned that they had lost control of their steering under unspecified circumstances and signified or signaled their status as, quote, not under command, end quote. Again, all of this coming from Debka. So it sounds like a cyber attack on the ship's steering mechanism and radar, and then an attack with proxy naval forces. So this could be anything from, you know, like speed boats or maybe even a little bit bigger. But the point is that right now things are driving toward war with Iran, as we've been talking about on this show for a very long time. All right. Also on the international front, this coming to us from Revolver. Researchers in the European Union have identified one of the deadliest threats to the globalist order that is slowly destroying nations, shattering cultures, and sucking the joy out of life, humor itself. You heard that right. Humor itself. The EU is literally attacking and highlighting the dangers of right-wing memes. And these are memes that have exposed the hypocrisy of the globalists. And so I guess they're getting upset at that. Unreal. All right, we're going to go next to currency and what I believe part of the cover is with all these other narratives and show trials and all sort of stuff. They're trying to cover for what they're doing in the banking system. And I don't normally quote Yahoo Finance, but Yahoo Finance is an article about a Fed-issued digital dollar. And remember we talked about this, that they would start in August, and here we are, August, with a digital currency with the major banks, well, starting with the Federal Reserve. And here it is, this article starting with the Federal Reserve. This central bank digital currency they're labeling as a, quote, new technology, end quote. It's not, okay? This is just the timing that they want to implement this, but this is what the article says. But here is the key point of this. Provides a mechanism for the Fed to distribute cash directly to working families. So now they want to go around all government controls totally, checks and safeguards. They want to now distribute money directly to families. So what this is an attempt to do is to make average people dependent directly on the Federal Reserve through this digital currency system. And by doing that, the Federal Reserve can then, because it is a private company, most people don't know that, the Federal Reserve can then turn on and off at will the money coming to you, which means you would be, by definition, a slave. I'm going to go ahead and post that article up there as well. Now, as part of this, on the national front, Coming to us from Summit News, PayPal co-founder warns financial giant is creating a, quote, de facto no-buy list by banning dissidents. Paul Joseph Watson has been doing a great job highlighting these things. PayPal co-founder David Stacks warns that the financial giant is creating a de facto no-buy list by banning people for their opinions, a move that will actually increase extremism in the long term. That's coming from the article. So PayPal is now going to arbitrarily determine who can buy and sell using their system. And if the Federal Reserve follows suit with this digital currency system, how is this different than slavery? I mean, this is Orwell's 1984. And following along on this, coming to us from the New American, Ilhan Omar proposes the, quote, Support Act to send monthly checks to Americans. So now what they want to turn this into is, and literally this bill would send a monthly stimulus check of $1,200 for adults and $600 for eligible children, is essentially the start of a universal basic income, which we've been talking about on the show, where they want to just give you income for being a human being. Again, making people dependent on it, and then they can cut it off. One of the antidotes to this is being a self-reliant, freedom-loving American, creating your own economies locally wherever you're at. Get to know your local cattle rancher, your local wheat farmer. Get to know them. Because local economies are where this is headed for patriots in the future. Now, it doesn't stop there. Again, going along with those first two narratives I'm talking about, January 6th, the officers alleged to have been complicit are now under investigation, really, all these months later and now. A filing from the Department of Justice dated July 30th has revealed that officers who are alleged to have been complicit in the January 6th Capitol breach are under investigation. Boy, if they do that and those guys have a defense that they were ordered to do it, this is going to blow this thing wide open. Multiple defense counsel have inquired about investigations in officers who were alleged to have been complicit in the January 6th Capitol breach. We have received copies of investigations into officer conduct, have finished reviewing them, and plan to disclose the relevant material shortly. So it doesn't mean they're going to do anything to those officers, but it means that now they have to do something because defense attorneys are bringing it up. And this is a tacit admission, by the way, that officers opened the gates, the barricades, and the doors to let people in, and therefore it could not be what the media is trying to claim it is. It could not be a, quote, insurrection. It is not. When they're walking inside the velvet barriers, when they're ushered into the Capitol by open doors and open barricades, now the question is going to be who ordered them to open the doors and the barricades? And was this, in fact, part of this contrived false flag we know is January 6th. All right. Next on the national front. More crackdown on free speech? Well, not exactly, but WorldNet Daily has the article about criticizing scientists like Fauci could soon become a, quote, hate crime, end quote. A troubling new expansion of anti-science aggression in the United States. A new article in a scientific journal is lobbying for criticism of scientists, specifically President Biden's COVID advisor, Anthony Fauci, to be labeled as hate. The National Pulse explains the article authored by Peter Hotez, sometimes a guest on legacy media outlets, called to extend federal hate crime protections to scientists facing criticism. Oh, good. Okay, so here's the thing. Science is a method. I want to say this again. Science is a method. It's not a religion, although some have made it into one. It is a method. And part of the method of science is criticizing, is questioning, is making people show their work and prove it. And these people don't want that because they're being exposed, particularly Fauci, who funded organizations that gave grants to the Wuhan lab in China, where COVID is thought to have originated, which we actually highlighted last year was very likely the source. And now we've come all the way back around to, yes, we were right since the beginning. Unbelievable. Now, continuing in this vein on the national front, coming to us from Technocracy News, Five Eyes. And if you don't know who the Five Eyes are, Britain, Canada, the United States, Australia, New Zealand, Biden authorizes access to everyone's social media. Wow. Now, I remember when a lot of people in the past would say, ah, what's the big deal? Don't worry about it. Why are you paranoid? I don't have anything to hide. Just horrifically ignorant statements when people would say that kind of stuff. But as this article states at Technocracy News, quote, no one has taken the White House's plan to turn big tech into a quasi Five Eyes censorship program seriously, despite repeated warnings from journalists and news websites. Journalist Caitlin Johnstone warned the White House is pushing for Facebook and Microsoft to censor any social media stories the feds don't like. End quote. Now, they're going to use, and this is what the article is really kind of getting to, they're going to use terrorism and extremism as the excuse to begin their censorship program. Quote, over the next few months, the group will add attacker manifestos, often shared by sympathizers after white supremacist violence and other publications, and links flagged by UN initiative Tech Against Terrorism. It will use lists from intelligence sharing group Five Eyes, adding URLs and PDFs from more groups, including the Proud Boys, the Three Percenters, and so-called neo-Nazis. Twitter and YouTube are also helping Five Eyes spy on the world's social media. I'm going to go ahead and post this article up, but I want you all to take a look at this. It does matter because what they're trying to do is use social media now as a censorship platform. And as we talked about during the Red Pill Festival with John Jacob Schmidt, there is a term, a strategic term, it's a strategy called comms herding or communications herding, where essentially they'll leave open certain social media platforms, try and close all the other ones down, leave open a couple, because those are the ones they can most easily monitor all the communications. They can most easily monitor everything that you're saying. So it's very critical at this time that if you have not downloaded and gotten onto encrypted communications networks, that you need to do that now, like Signal, Telegram. Telegram is really becoming a social media platform because of this stuff, all right? But there needs to be more than just one. Now, also on Technocracy News, Pentagon technocrats use AI or artificial intelligence to see days in advance, quote unquote. U.S. Northern Command recently conducted a series of tests known as the Global Information Dominance Experiments, or GIDE, which combined global sensor networks, artificial intelligence systems, and cloud computing resources in an attempt to achieve information dominance. This is the term they're using, and decision-making superiority. According to Northcom leadership, the AI and machine learning tools tested in the experiments could someday offer the Pentagon a robust, quote, ability to see days in advance, end quote, meaning it could predict the future with some reliability based on evaluating patterns, anomalies, and trends in massive data sets. So this is, again, something we've talked about on the show a long time ago called activity-based intelligence, where they have such granular profiles on every single human being that they could predict reactions to stimulus or reactions to certain things that they put out days in advance. Folks, this is where this stuff is headed. A lot of people think it's incredible, but it's here, it's true. All right, now I want to go back to some intel that's really important for everybody. And this is on the national level again. Janet Yellen, this coming to us from Forward Observer, Janet Yellen outlined several emergency provisions the Treasury is taking as the U.S. reached its statutory debt limit. This is not being talked about a lot, but they're taking some actions and ratcheting back certain things. Civil and postal retiree health funds are being restricted to beneficiary period only, and a debt issuance suspension period as well is happening through at least September. She's suspending the sale of state and local government series securities until further notice. That's fascinating. But it gets even more interesting, too, in the last couple of days, something else that has happened. Again, not talked about. The National Security Council is expanding by 20%. Which means this should have been a major news story, but it's not, because one of the directorates, there are six new directorates of the National Security Council, and one of those new directorates is about countering domestic extremism. Now, wait, this is the National Security Council, which is supposed to be focused on outside threats. They are now forming a new directorate about countering domestic extremism, which comes on the heels last week of a poll from George Washington University that found that 55% of Republicans agreed. You got to pay attention to this one. George Washington University poll, it found 55% of Republicans agreed that the use of force may be required to protect the traditional American way of life. Overall, roughly a third of respondents said that they agreed or strongly agreed with that statement. On another question, 47% of Republicans agreed that the time will come when patriotic Americans have to take the law into their own hands. So you can see this even by their polls, they're beginning to try to set up this narrative. But there's a truth behind this, that when the rules begin to break down, that people are saying, well, why do we have to follow the rules anymore? And it's like they're preparing for something very major to happen here in the United States. I've got a lot more, but we are out of time on this segment of the show. And that is The Briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for us. And if you get the chance, go to Facebook.com/Patriot Radio US, like the page, share it with your friends and family. And remember, Patriot Radio is on iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, Amazon, and a whole bunch of others. You can find us all over the internet. Share that with your friends and family so they get the truth and they begin standing up to defend this great republic. All right, it's my honor today to introduce our guest, Jim Simpson. He's an author, writer, investigative journalist, businessman, and former economist and budget examiner for the White House Office of Management and Budget under Presidents Reagan, H.W. Bush, and Clinton. Jim, it's great to have you back on the show. How are you doing today?
Hey, Matt. Great to be with you. I'm good.
So I don't even know where to start with everything happening. This seemed like a big day, like a bellwether day today. There's so much going on in the news, but I want to talk with you now. We talked months ago about kind of where the country is headed. If you can, give an overview of where you think the country is headed right now with the trends that are happening and the narratives that are already beginning to be put out here for the fall.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I just published a new book. It's titled, Who Was Karl Marx? the men, the motives, and the menace behind today's rampaging American left. And that just came out in print this June, and it is very current, and it traces everything that is happening today back to the radicals that first envisioned and then began implementing the strategies that we now see being played out on the streets throughout our country, in the halls of Congress, and even in this ungodly White House. And, I mean, we have seen, and I knew this was going to happen, the open borders policies, they flung the borders wide open. They are showing absolutely unequivocally that they care nothing about the health, welfare, or safety of the American people, bringing in all of these illegal aliens from south of the border, many of whom have COVID, and then they're secretly spiriting them off to different cities throughout the country without even testing them. And, you know, there was that recent case in Texas where a bunch of illegal aliens with COVID were found eating in a fast food restaurant. I think it was a Whataburger. And they were coughing all over the place. And somebody asked them, what are you doing here? Why are you coughing? And they, oh, we all have COVID. And nobody told the restaurant. Nobody told it. They just went and did this. And then, they, without telling the hotel management, they housed these people in a hotel nearby. And it's just stunning. And they could care less. You tell them, you talk to them about this, and it falls on deaf ears. And it is just getting worse and worse and worse. The Center for Immigration Studies put out a report today that makes the July illegal alien encounters, they're calling it now. They no longer call it apprehensions and inadmissibles. Now they call it encounters, southwest border encounters, higher than it was in June. And June was the highest it's been in 21 years. And they could care less. It will keep getting worse unless governors, like the governor of Texas is doing, governors band together and basically enforce the law. Now, unlike the Democrats, the governors feel compelled to live under the rule of law. And so, for example, Governor Abbott's latest effort has been snarled up in court because, of course, the Biden administration sued them. And as soon as they sued them, the judge put on a temporary hold on what they were doing. Now, to me, the Biden administration is acting illegally, criminally, in fact. You know, they take an oath to enforce the laws of the United States, and they are flagrantly breaking the laws of the United States to bring these people into this country. And we know the reasons they're doing it. One is to get so many illegal aliens in here and then amnesty them so that they can have a permanent left-wing majority at the federal, state, and local level, starting with the federal level. And the second reason is to create absolute chaos because that is how they operate. In chaos, you can create change, as many leftists have said.
Did we lose you, Jim? Are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay.
I just figured I'd give you a break and let you respond.
Well, I do want to respond in this sense right now. To your book, Who Was Karl Marx? The Men, the Motives, the Menace Behind Today's Rampaging American Left, it brought to mind a quote from Thomas Paine. And I want to read that quote right now because I think it's key to understanding something behind this, that these people are not going to stop. Here's his quote. It is the madness of folly to expect mercy from those who have refused to do justice, and even mercy where conquest is the object is only a trick of war. The cunning of the fox is as murderous as the violence of the wolf. What is the motive behind these people? Because I think a lot of folks still try to say, oh, no, their motives are good. They're just doing what they think is in the best interest of the United States. That is not true. In fact, that is a patently false statement.
Yeah, no, it is absolutely a patently false statement. And I not only explain that in my book, but I prove it. I prove it because these people are carrying out strategies and tactics that were have been under development for 100 years. And there is no doubt about the purpose. For example, Lyndon Johnson's Great Society program in the late 1960s was designed specifically to rope minorities into welfare and force them to become dependent on welfare. It was not an effort to bring them out of welfare. It was an effort to force them into welfare and, in the process, overwhelm our government with demands for services that would ultimately cause its collapse. And this was articulated in the 1960s by two Columbia University sociology professors named Richard Cloward and Francis Fox Piven. They were both hardcore socialists, and they created what has been called the Cloward-Piven strategy of manufactured crisis. And they said in that book that first they wanted to entice minorities onto the welfare rolls, because they knew that the left would be rewarded at the polls. But their goal was not to help those people get out of poverty. They said, and here's the thing you need to know, these two people were the authors of Lyndon Johnson's Great Society program. They were very a big part of that. And when they did it, they said that they weren't trying to help the poor. They said that welfare was driving the poor into lethargy. He said, with the safety net, they argued, the rich had doused the fires of rebellion. And they didn't want the poor to be lethargic or comfortable in a safety net. They wanted the safety net to collapse so that the poor would be angry. And as they told the New York Times, they did that because poor people only have power, quote, when the rest of society is afraid of them. And so they wanted riots in the streets. They provoked riot in the streets, and they did that into the 80s, and Frances Fox Piven in her late 80s is still doing it today. I quote her as being interviewed in the Jacobin magazine. Did you even know there was a Jacobin magazine?
I actually did, unfortunately, but yeah, a lot of people don't.
That. Yeah, no, it's, you know, the Jacobins were, of course, the ones who carried out the terrorism in the French Revolution. And and so she said that the violent protesters had the right to defend their ability to exercise disruptive power. And that's what she said just last year. And so it's just simply amazing. All of these people are about forcing our society into crisis and collapse, and they're using any number of different strategies to accomplish that. I talk at length about critical race theory and how it came about. You know, there's critical race theory, there's white privilege. All of these things are communist concepts created for the specific purpose of discrediting and shaming our country and Western civilization generally. And, you know, when you look at it, Marx said even before he wrote the Communist Manifesto, was that their main goal had to be a ruthless criticism of everything existing. And he said, that criticism must not be afraid of its own conclusions, nor of conflicts with the powers that be. So in other words, they can criticize in any manner that they want to, but the goal is to criticize everything existing in Western society, to force it into chaos, crisis, and collapse. And in the 1930s, the Institute for Social Research in Frankfurt, Germany, which commonly came to be known as the Frankfurt School, set out to create a new philosophy that they called critical theory. And the whole purpose of critical theory was to attack Christianity, capitalism, authority, the family, patriarchy, hierarchy, morality, tradition, sexual restraint, loyalty, patriotism, and nationalism. Any and all foundations of society in order to destroy the culture and, as one of the communists said, make Western civilization stink, because only then, when we have corrupted all its values and made life impossible, can we impose communism.
That's exactly right. Chapter 2 of the Communist Manifesto specifically calls out abolishing the family and abolishing all religion and truth.
And so the critical theory was created in the 1930s, and the Frankfurt School communists were forced to flee Germany when Hitler took over, and they were resettled at the Columbia University Teachers College, where critical theory became a major focal point. And then, of course, the communists that had learned at the Columbia Teachers College spread out into Ivy League. One of them was a guy named Derrick Bell, and he followed up critical theory with critical race theory, which just takes the goals and objectives of critical theory and focuses on the whole issue of race. So the idea is to pick apart every scab of every racial conflict this country has ever had and turn it into the everything and the only thing about this country and making it all bad. And so you have to step back and realize that this is a strategy to divide and conquer our country. The arguments they make are utterly superfluous. They're absurd. The arguments only serve to advance their agenda. And their agenda is to back us into a corner, to humiliate us, to embarrass us, to infuriate us, because, you know, the man that's angry is soon to fall. And they want to provoke us to anger so that they can claim that, the American people are actually domestic terrorists and are ready to attack,
That's exactly right. There is a real push right now on that narrative to, everybody is upset. Republicans want to see, the law taken into their own hands. I was just talking about that before I brought you on. It is a narrative they want to spin up and gin up right in preparation for September when these show trials begin in earnest. And so the question then becomes, how do we get out of this? Because the legacy media is losing viewers by the thousands, by the tens of thousands, actually.
Yeah.
How do we get out of this and reclaim the narrative and restore the republic?
Well, interestingly enough, when I wrote this book, it's the kind of thing where, we read stuff every day that's very disheartening and very alarming. And there's plenty of material, it's a target-rich environment. But I felt when I wrote this book, I had to really offer a series of solutions that were at least plausible, because we really are, we're facing a very dangerous foe. And with every waking hour, we discover how deeply entrenched they've become within our institutions, especially, you know, legal institutions. And so they need to be routed out. But we're not going to do it with guns. We're not going to do it with, you know, with a blazing revolution. I guarantee you, if it ever came to that, they would send in the U.S. military. And the way they have indoctrinated the U.S. military and sought to throw out anybody with any kind of self-respect or morality, those people would be gunning for us. They want people in the U.S. military that are willing to shoot on American citizens. And that's the real goal of all this critical race theory and stuff like that in the military. They want to get their people in there. And also, by the way, and I make this point in the book, they don't want to defund the police. That's not the goal.
No, it isn't.
The goal is to federalize the police. They want to take away police organizations that have any independence and that wouldn't follow along with their edicts. They get a federalized law enforcement with the maybe FBI as the lead agency, and you'll see how suddenly the law enforcement will be turned to their ends. I mean, they're looking to create an American version of the KGB. And at least at the top levels with the FBI, they've already accomplished that.
Yeah, essentially, they become the police, essentially. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They become the police. And I've known that for decades, that, you know, all the efforts to stymie federal law enforcement done by the ACLU and other organizations like that, so-called civil liberties organizations, they're not there to support civil rights or justice. They're there to make law enforcement increasingly difficult until they can replace those people in law enforcement with people that share their agendas and their ideology. And then you will see laws, they will clamp down on everybody and everything like nobody's business. They're not against law enforcement. They're against legitimate law enforcement. But anyway, so I have written the largest chapter in the book is called Back from the Brink, A Comprehensive Plan to Save America, where I go into many things that we can do, and in fact, we already are starting to do that will at least give us a fighting chance to take back our country. And really, we can't fight those institutions or the media head on. We need to use our alternative sources of media. We need to, but even more important than media, the one thing you can rely on the left to do is overplay its hand, and that's what they're doing now. They've become our best salesmen because they are showing the world. They've come completely out of the closet, and they're showing the world just how vicious and unprincipled and really deadly they are. They're showing their hand, and people have become alarmed. It's one of the reasons, you know, critical race theory and all of these racist narratives that they're imposing in public school, they're not new. They've been around for at least 10 years, and they've been building and building and building on it. But those kind of narratives, those efforts have been ongoing for years. But look what's happened around the country now. When people found out what critical race theory was, and people finally realized that this is what their children were being subjected to in public school, people all around the country are outraged. They're raising up. They're overthrowing school boards. And these are the kind of things we need to do, because the only way we will get our country back is if we get political leadership and political power back. So that argues directly that the 2022 elections are going to be the most important elections in American history. And if we don't take back U.S. Congress in 2022, I believe they're going to be finished as a country. So that's something that everybody needs to focus on. But we also need to focus on state and local government, because especially local government, we've been asleep at the switch. The left has rule city councils all over the country. They rule judgeships all over the country. And those are elections. Nobody pays attention to judicial elections. That's why all these lunatic leftists get in, because we don't pay attention to it. We need to pay attention to local elections, and we need to start standing up and supporting and electing our own candidates and then following through to make sure that they will carry out the promises that they made during their campaigns. You know, it's what Benjamin Franklin said, you know, we've got a republic if we can keep it, but we've got to work to keep it. And we always have to work to keep it. It's not something where you can just work at it for a year or two and then sit back and relax. This is something that we always have to be working on. So I go into a lot of different strategies, a lot of different agendas, a lot of different legislation. I go in depth into vote fraud, how we prevent that. There are many, many things that we can do, but we have to do them, and we have to do them right quick. But the one thing that I attempted to do in this last chapter is create a list of things that people wouldn't necessarily feel like they're going out of their comfort zone. That's the most, because that's where we fall down. You know, all we hear is people saying, oh, write your senator, write your congressman, write the local newspaper, you know, do this, that. A lot of people aren't comfortable doing those things. So I provide lists of, and it's, let's see, it's at least 10 pages long. I provide lists of things that people can do that should not go outside of their zone of comfortability, you know? And that's what we need, something that people, there's plenty of things we could list that people should do, but we got to come up with things that people actually will do. And so I've done both.
I think that is key. Things that people will actually do. We've got about 2 minutes left. And in the last 2 minutes, if you could talk again about your book, Who Was Karl Marx? And also, where can people go to find it? Where can people go to find out more information and read more about what you are exposing?
Okay. Well, there's two things. They can just go to the Amazon.com and search under my name, James Simpson, or Who Was Karl Marx? It'll pop right up because it's become a bestseller in a few categories. But the easiest way is to go to my website, which is crisisnow.net, crisisnow.net. And on the front page there, I have a short discussion of my book, and underneath is a link to the Amazon page where you can actually buy it. And it's available both in Kindle and print. And it's a short book. It's 150 pages in print. You can read it in a couple of hours, but it tells the entire story from Marx to the present of how we got here, who got us here, what their agendas were, why they pursued them. Most people don't get that either. Most people don't get why these people are so obsessed with power. You know, they think that communism is this great utopian vision that these people have stupidly bought into. Nothing could be further from the truth. Those people don't believe in communism any more than we do. They see it as a vehicle for them to seize and hold absolute power and the wealth that goes with it. Look around you and tell me if you can see any major Democrat, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, any of them who aren't filthy rich and haven't gotten that way by basically raiding the public trough. And that's the goal, to become absolutely wealthy and powerful using this system of strategies and techniques that have been developed over 100 years. And I name the people, most of whom nobody's ever heard of, who are the most critical people in developing these strategies and moving them forward. But you'll be fascinated. It's a fascinating historical read, but in the process of reading, you will be hit right in the gut with just how accurate it is that these are the people who came up with these ideas, and we are seeing those ideas, those strategies, those agendas being played out before our very eyes, right in the streets today, and everything that's happening from the left. So it tells you the past, how we got here, who got us here, why they got us here, what they intend for us, and how we can get ourselves out. Who was Karl Marx? The men, the motives, and the menace behind today's rampaging American left. And it's at crisisnow.net.
And Jim, we are out of time. I appreciate you coming on. And I think this is one of the must-read books of the entire year, probably the entire last two decades. Thank you again for everything you're doing, and keep up the fight.
Matt, thanks so much for having me.
All right. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for joining me on Patriot Radio today. May God bless all of you. And may he make this generation the greatest one. All of you out there, get out and do something. Keep up the fight.